In a few minutes, a story about getting an MBA for free. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. But first, the topic of international trade and free trade agreements have been a point of substance in the presidential debates and in the minds of many voters. Republican John Kasich, who won Ohio last night, is the only candidate left standing who supports a pending trade deal that would cover 40% of global trade. This Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, has faced heavy criticism from Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders in particular. In fact, Sanders' strong rebuff of trade has been credited with helping him upset Clinton in Michigan last week. Clinton and Cruz don't love the TPP either. This week, we've been exploring the results of the latest poll we commissioned, the Marketplace Edison Research Poll. And Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson, who covers trade for us, is here with that section of the data. Tracy, hi there.
Morning.
What do we know from the data on how Americans are feeling about this issue?
Well, they're confused. The first thing that jumps out in this data is actually that 49% of people, about half, said they didn't know enough about free trade agreements to say whether or not they're good or bad for the U.S. economy. And that's a big number, especially as people try and choose a presidential candidate, try and understand their views, vote in primaries, decide whether or not to support that big trade agreement you mentioned, the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Well, it's complicated stuff. Now, what about, from the data, the other half?
About a third thought free trade agreements are good for the U.S. economy. 18% say they're bad. But when we start digging deeper into this data, there's some more interesting stuff in there. So typically, if we were to generalize, we'd say Republicans have historically supported free trade agreements more than Democrats. But actually, our poll found stronger support among Democrats. 73% of Democrats thought trade agreements were good for the economy, compared with just under 60% of Republicans. And this shift is something we're seeing in the presidential campaign. Republican frontrunner Donald Trump has really been leading this charge against the TPP in particular, and in general against trade, with lines like, you know, how we're losing to China and other countries.
And he's really been arguing that these are bad deals for American workers. Now, in our polling, we asked people to consider the statement, quote, free trade is good even if it hurts some American businesses.
Right. So we hear all the time that trade has winners and losers, you know, people who benefit and those who pay a price. So what we're trying to get at here is whether people think trade is worth it in the aggregate. So salaried workers were more likely to agree or even strongly agree with that statement that trade is good, even if it hurts some businesses. Hourly workers were much more likely to strongly disagree. And those who made less than $50,000, again, disagreed with the statement much more than those who made over $50,000. I ran that by a labor economist, and he said that income division could be lower wage workers reflecting their economic interests. In other words, when U.S. jobs are lost because of competition from other countries, it's often those lower wage, lower skilled positions. So that feeling of vulnerability might account for the more negative perception of trade agreements among lower income or hourly workers compared with their wealthier peers.
All right. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson keeps an eye on trade policy for us. Tracy, thank you.
Thanks, David.
Let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is up 0.2%. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. Never mind the music in the background. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.1% range. A top federal agency for assessing health risks, the Centers for Disease Control, has put out new guidelines saying powerful painkillers such as Vicodin and OxyContin do much more harm than good when prescribed for long-term pain. Dr. Andrew Kolodny, a senior scientist at the Heller School of Social Policy at Brandeis and executive director at Physicians for Responsible Opioid Prescribing, sees this as a turning point.
For the first time, the federal government is communicating clearly that prescribing opioids long-term for common conditions is inappropriate, that the risks of using opioids long-term for chronic pain outweigh the benefits.
This, he believes, even though the CDC in Atlanta is not the Food and Drug Administration, the formal regulator of medicines in America.
Because the CDC is held in very high regard by doctors and state health agencies and hospitals, their recommendations are taken seriously.
Opiate painkillers are big business, and pharma companies may try to persuade physicians otherwise. Coming soon, a tuition-free MBA is launching this week from the University of the People, which already offers no-tuition bachelor's degrees. The idea of this new degree is to extend advancement opportunities to people who can't afford graduate business education. The question is whether an MBA from an untested new program will be worth their time. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
Tuition alone for an elite MBA tops $120,000. A University of the People graduate will pay about $2,400 in fees. Expenses stay low through online classes and support from foundations. University President Shai Reshef is realistic when it comes to competing with other business schools.
People who can get into great universities, which will cost a great amount of money, if they can do it and afford it, they should do it.
The idea is to create a place where students from around the world who could never afford any MBA can pick up skills that will advance their careers. But it's hard to know the value of a degree from a new program, says Russ Poulin with WCET, which tracks higher ed online.
I'll be curious to see how employers look at that. It is not a brand that is well known.
The program is accredited, and professors from top business schools are supporting it. The value of the degree could increase over time if the program's reputation grows. Reshef says, based on the early response, he'll have no trouble filling his first MBA class. I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And there's money to be made and lost in the markets, but a reminder that the arena always takes a cut. There's news this morning that the London Stock Exchange Group has agreed to merge with the rival German securities exchange, the Deutsche Börse, in a deal worth over $30 billion. If approved, this union would create the largest financial market in all of Europe. As we've reported, the deal triumphs a rival bid from the owner of the New York Stock Exchange. The European Union's antitrust regulators will now review the merger today. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.